The Soldier's Tale, The War Lovers. It was during the Battle of Agincourt that Phedmon Cassad encountered the woman he would spend the rest of his life seeking. It was a wet and chilly late October morning in AD 1415. Cassad had been inserted as an archer into the army of Henry V of England. The English force had been on French soil since August 14th, and had been retreating from superior French forces since October 8th. Henry had convinced his war council that the army could beat the French in a forced march to the safety of Calais. They had failed. Now, as October 25th dawned gray and drizzly, 7,000 Englishmen, mostly bowmen, faced a force of some 28,000 French men-at-arms across a kilometer of muddy field. Cassad was cold, tired, sick, and scared. He and the other archers had been surviving on little more than scavenged berries for the past week of the march, and almost every man on the line that morning was suffering from diarrhea. The air temperature was in the low 50s Fahrenheit, and Cassad had spent a long night trying to sleep on damp ground. He was impressed with the unbelievable realism of the experience. The Olympus Command School Historical Tactical Network was as far beyond regular stim sims as full-form hollows were beyond tintypes. But the physical sensations were so convincing, so real, that Cassad did not relish the thought of being wounded. There were tales of cadets receiving fatal wounds in the OCS HTN sims and being pulled dead from their immersion creches. Cassad and the other bowmen on Henry's right flank had been staring at the larger French force for most of the morning when pennants waved, the 15th century equivalent of sergeant's braid, and the archers obeyed the king's command and began marching against the enemy. The ragged English line, stretching about 700 meters across the field from treeline to treeline, consisted of clusters of archers like Cassad's troop interspersed with smaller groups of men-at-arms. The English had no formal cavalry, and most of the horses Cassad could see on his end of the field were carrying men clustered near the king's command group, 300 meters toward the center, or huddled around the Duke of York's position much closer to where Cassad and the other archers stood, near the right flank. These command groups reminded Cassad of a force ground mobile staff HQ, only instead of the inevitable forest of comm antennae giving away their position, bright banners and pennants hung limp on pikes. An obvious artillery target, thought Cassad, and then reminded himself that this particular military nuance did not yet exist. Cassad noticed that the French had plenty of horses. He estimated 600 or 700 mounted men formed in ranks on each side of the French flanks and a long line of cavalry behind the main battle line. Cassad did not like horses. He had seen hollows and pictures, of course, but he had not encountered the animals themselves until this exercise, and the size, smell, and sound of them tended to be unnerving. Especially so when the damn quadrupeds were armored chest and head, shod in steel, and trained to carry armored men wielding 4 meters of lance. The English advance halted. Cassad estimated that his battle line was about 250 meters from the French. He knew from the experience of the past week that this was within longbow range, but he also knew that he would have to pull his arm half out of its socket to hold the pull. The French were shouting what Cassad assumed were insults. He ignored them as he and his silent comrades stepped forward from where they had planted their long arrows and found soft ground in which to drive their stakes. The stakes were long and heavy, and Cassad had been carrying his for a week. Almost a meter and a half long, the clumsy thing had been sharpened at both ends. When the order first came down for all the archers to find saplings and cut stakes somewhere in the deep woods just after they had crossed the Somme, Cassad had wondered idly what the things were for. Now he knew. Every third archer carried a heavy mallet, and now they took turns driving their stakes in at a careful angle. Cassad pulled out his long knife, resharpened the end which, even leaning, rose almost to his chest, and stepped back through the hedgehog of sharpened stakes to await the French charge. The French did not charge. Cassad waited with the others. His bow was strung, 48 arrows were planted in 2 clusters at his feet, and his feet were set properly. The French did not charge. The rain had stopped, but a cool breeze had come up, and what little body heat Cassad had generated by the short march and the task of driving stakes had been lost quickly. The only sounds were the metallic shufflings of men and horses, occasional mutterings or nervous laughs, and the heavier thud of hooves as the French cavalry rearranged itself but still refused to charge.